Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Southern Cross is back in studio with us, and Pacific Media Watch contributing editor Michael Andrew has just popped in the door. We're running a little bit tight. My interview was a bit short, which is sorry. So how are you today?
I'm good. I got here.
Yes, exactly. In the nick of time. Yeah, exactly. So onto it. It's perfect timing. So let's get into it. Let's start off with the Cook Islands. And we talked a little bit last week about the banning of Rocket Man. Was it in Samoa, yeah, wasn't it? And so the Cook Islands have done something sort of similar, or have tried to?
Yeah, so they've followed the lead of Samoa, and the censor there has tried to ban the movie. Mm. So that was run by the Cook Islands News last week, which we covered as well. But essentially, when they tried to ban the movie, they were met with such vehement backlash that they've decided to backtrack on that. It was also met with a Cook Islands lawyer saying, hey, if this actually goes through, I'm going to raise a legal challenge. So there was very strong opposition to the censors' move to try and ban the film. But it just further complicates this whole paradigm with homosexuality and Pacific Christianity as well, which seemed to be the main topic last week in a number of stories, pretty much encompassed most particularly by Israel Folau's further controversial statements. I'm sure everyone knows about that.
Yes. So how about we move on to Israel Folau? I understand that a Samoan minister has spoken out against his comments.
Yeah, so one of our postgraduate journalism students at AUT did a story where they interviewed South Auckland Samoan minister, Reverend Apilu Tailu, I think his name is, pronunciation. But anyway, he came out and condemned Israel Folau's initial statements, basically saying that they were an excuse for hatred and that the Bible was all about love and it's about compassion, and the Bible has been misused for centuries to justify human rights abuses, apartheid, slavery. So this is just another case of someone distorting the Bible and misusing it for their own whatever reasons their own hatred, I suppose, which is really refreshing to have that voice inside the church, and especially a Pacific voice, to come forward. So that was one of our most popular stories of the week. So a really, really nicely done story.
We've heard a lot about Israel Folau's comments from New Zealand media and Australian media. Does the Pacific media, like those in the islands, are they catching on to the story?
Some of them have. The Cook Islands News is really good. It's a really good publication, and they've covered it extensively because of the Rocket Man ban. But that it's good because it casts a light on this whole issue. So it's quite timely in a way that these happened at the similar times. But they've basically had editorials as well saying this is the fact that the ban was overturned, the Rocket Man ban was overturned, that's a victory for freedom of speech. It's a victory for the LGBT community, and the fact that the ban didn't go through, it means that there wasn't a concession to mob rule, because that's essentially what was pushing for the ban. So there are certain publications that are outspoken about it, but genuinely from what I've read, I mean, a lot of media in the Pacific is through social media, so that's how a lot of information is disseminated, and it's quite divisive. There are a lot of people who are saying, well, no, what he said was really bad, but there are a lot of people saying, well, he was just preaching Christian ideology or his interpretation of it, and it's legitimate and he shouldn't be condemned for that. But I mean, we haven't covered the Israel Folau thing extensively, but it's obviously it comes down to how you view freedom of speech, and it's a whole complicated issue. We might do more on it, but it's like here in New Zealand, opinions are mixed. Probably a bit more in the Pacific because of its entrenched Christian values, it is a bit more, 50-50, whereas here in New Zealand, it's probably genuinely people like outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I suppose I just thinking about you saying that a lot of sort of information that you find, like media sort of sources that you find from the Pacific, come out of social media. That must sort of mean in a way that it is also, you do get quite a lot of viewpoints as well, rather exactly. than sort of like a collated viewpoint. You get quite an expansive, different people saying their own, what they think, which must be quite interesting as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily get the publications in, say, the Solomon Islands, I don't think, reporting on this issue and stirring the pot like that, because it would, the possibility for backlash in a very strong Christian nation is quite real. Mm. But it's usually the comments on, say, Facebook that reveal what the general
people
mentality
are thinking.
Is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the Facebook comments and the Instagram comments are usually a good way to kind of test the pulse of these countries, and it, like I said, it kind of, it's 50-50 as far as I can tell.
So yeah, interesting time. So let's move on to Vanuatu, and there's Vanuatu media is benefiting from a right to information law.
Yes yeah. So we haven't done much on Vanuatu lately, but there's been a lot happening. 2 years ago, a law was passed that basically, like our Official Information Act, the Vanuatu citizens have a right to request information, official information, from the government. And in the 2 years that it has been active, it's been quite beneficial, and it's created a lot more transparency and a lot more openness from government departments, which is a great thing for a Melanesian country, because their track record on media access to information has not been good. Usually it's incredibly hard to get information from government, or it takes a long time. But the Vanuatu Daily Post, which is their national publication and managed and edited by Dan McGarry, who's a contributor to Pacific Media Centre, he's said that the law has been great, and it's made it a lot easier to get information, and it's especially good for media, so they're going to test it out with formal requests. But basically, you don't really have to go through that process. You can just go call a government guy and go, hey, look, can I have this information?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, sweet as, whatever. Yeah. So it's not that official, but it is proving to be very, very beneficial for media information.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
because we have talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about how that is a really big sort of issue, is that the right to information, and with the things in Australia with ABC as well. So I suppose it's awesome to see that Vanuatu is moving in that direction.
Absolutely.
And so finally, there was a
No worries. Just in the same vein as the Vanuatu media, there was a story, and this is actually a really lovely story, of a journalist up in the remote Toba province. His name escapes me. I'll just look it up in a minute. But anyway, he's kind of this... he lives in this remote province with no internet access, very little internet access, and we ran a story, an RNZ story, on him. He has to actually climb coconut trees to get enough internet to send his reports every week.
Wow.
From this remote province. But he's this really active journalist that drives for hours across like big ocean bodies to visit these remote communities to get these stories and report on climate change, and he's self-trained. So
that's,
it's incredibly
amazing.
Great effort for a grassroots journalist, and he has a national program on the radio once or twice a week, so he has to climb the coconut tree like 30 meters high and like speak into his phone.
Get his phone out.
A couple of bars. Yeah, it's so cool.
Crazy.
Yeah. So that was a really popular story.
Yeah,
and
that's awesome.
His work has actually resulted in the Australian government funding a police outpost on this remote island.
Aww.
So that there's more security. But he's doing a great job.
And yeah.
it's a big victory for Vanuatu journalism and journalism in general.
That's amazing to hear. I can't. Amazing. So, and then and now moving on, there was a conference in Bangkok last week.
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So my boss David Roby went and attended that, and that's the annual conference for basically media and communications in the Asia region. And he's going to come on the show next week and talk at length, but basically there were a lot of talks and a few books that were released that one is a manual for climate change reporting in the Pacific, so that's really awesome. That'll help out journalists to be able to accurately report on in a scientific perspective on climate change, and that will aid their stories. There was also talks from, like I said, David will come and talk at length, but talks about the detrimental nature of the patriarchy in Asian countries and how that needs to change over time, and also talk about how ethics needs to be incorporated in research of communications in universities. So more needs to be, in research communications, more needs to be looked at in how to engage new technology ethically in a way to prevent people becoming addicted to technology, which is a very real issue. So it just kind of explored all these new studies that are coming out. But like I said, David will give you a brief next week. And
be interesting to hear all about it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So read all about the Pacific Media Centre updates at asiapacificreport.nz. And thank you so much. Oh, Michael's cool. got one more point.
I forgot to mention the Israel Folau story that's still up there. And that was done by our student Tulia Thompson. So massive credit to Tulia, because that was a good score.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely head on over there and give a read of that. I would like to read it as well. So thank you so much, Michael.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.